like to direct your minds this evening to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. I know that this particular text has been used many times, but I suppose the text I used this afternoon has been used too, the one I used last night. What we're about to endeavor here this evening took place 595 years before Christ. It literally has many pictures in it. Some of them that I might suggest to you is, it is a picture of the resurrection, which it is most commonly preached as. It is also a picture of the putting together and the building up of the church. It is also a picture of God gathering Israel and bringing her back into her nation as a great and mighty army, as the Lord's people will also be on that great day when he comes and calls them in the resurrection. They'll raise, be changed into his likeness, and caught away with him, a great and mighty army. Also, this particular chapter can be used, and very rightfully so, as a picture of the bringing in of the Gentile nation. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. First of all, I want to say that this vision that Ezekiel has, as we have tried to point out at other times, is of the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me. The Lord carried me out. He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. There are other kinds of spirits. All the spirits, we're told that we ought to try them, because there are certain influences and spirits works in the world that aren't of the Lord. You can't blame everything on the Lord. A lot of folks blame things on the Lord that ought not be blamed on the Lord, you see. They can blame it on the Spirit, so as to speak, but not on the Lord. In the Spirit of the Lord, he carried me out, it says. That's what we want this afternoon, is to be carried away in the Spirit of the Lord, doesn't it? We want to be, we sit in a valley also, and if we're set in a valley, we want to be set there with the Lord, because if the Lord's there, it's a pleasant place. You know, at the top of every mountain, when you come off of it, there's a valley. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and in the wilderness for 40 years. The equation there is almost beyond my comprehension, but I found that he was in the wilderness more than he's on the mountain top. And so we are here. But the Spirit of the Lord carried him. It says, it carried me out. And the Spirit of the Lord set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, as if he was going to show me something, as if he was going to reason with me, as if he was going to ask some questions of me, as if I was to sit, take notice, behold, and observe the things that are set before me. Now, I think this is firstly is pointed out to us because that's exactly what is to be done by us this afternoon, this evening, is to take a good, long, hard look at the things that are before us and ask some questions that God presents before us. And he says, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, you know, bones are some things we ought to consider about bones. Here's a valley of bones. The next thing he says, they're very dry bones. But you know, before you could have a bone, you had to have some life somewhere. You can't have a bone without a life. You can't have a bone. Now, you can take one. You know, I got a catalog through the mail the other day where I can buy bones and skeletons and all sorts of human parts. I can buy them and put them on display if I wanted them. But for less money, I could get a copy made out of plastic and other things. But it was the real thing. You lay them down side by side with all their care. One of them was a bone and the other looked like a bone. So here we are. We find our prophet carried out by the Lord, set in a valley of dry bones. Here's some bones that lay out on top of the ground, couldn't even bury themselves. No, they're not even in the ground. We always are having individuals that spend a lifetime trying to save souls in this world. And when they die, somebody has to carry them to the grave. Can't even bury themselves. And here those bones lay. Now with this consideration, they had life, they couldn't live, they couldn't bury themselves, their bones are all scattered around out there. They wouldn't even be able to gather up their own bones. They wouldn't have known their own bones if suddenly they'd had life. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to gather up their own bones. If these people out here, if this earth was shaken, and we'd say to them, and they had life, and they were able to come forth, had to gather up their bones, nothing there but dust, they wouldn't be able to do a thing. They wouldn't have anybody. So the Lord says, let's take a look at this thing. There you are, Ezekiel, their bones. Says not only that, they're very dry. They don't have any life left in them. They're as dry as they can be. Dry as they can be. And at the most, when we're here, 70% of this body that you see standing before you that you're living in, 70% of it is water anyway. That gets it down to 30% of it is actually matter, and it's all made out of atoms, and all those atoms that made up those bodies are still out there just like that water that moving down into the deep. And the Lord knows where they're at. They're assigned to you. They're your atoms. Right? The Lord knows where they're at, and He keeps it. You're talking about computers. God is a computer. He knows where these things are at. Now, really, this is right. And when He speaks the word, hits the switch, things happen, don't you see? Well, just you getting the idea, He calls me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Now to stop here again. There's all of the tube of fours, the tube of sixes, whatever size that you need, everything you need, there it is to make a body. Every bone is right there. There's lots of them. Just choose you out your bones, put them together. Can you make a body? Who can make a body but the Lord? Nobody can make a body but the Lord. I mean, there's all those things. Now, looking at this, you know, and the Lord gives us a picture of Solomon's temple. The Lord says, I'll build a temple. The Lord caused all the raw products to be hewn, all the stones to be made out in the quarry. They were all made huge stones, massive stones. All the stones was brought in and put in His place. Didn't hear the sign of the hammer, didn't have to improve upon it. God knew exactly what size it needed to be. No hammer was heard. Stones, if I recall, don't hold me on this now, 66 feet long, some of them long, 33 feet tall, 15 feet through of granite. And all of them fit so well that they didn't even have to use any mortar, and there wasn't any cracks in the building. Every timber was hewn and brought in and put in the building, and the sound of the hammer or the axe wasn't heard. God builded a building like man might build a building here, and no man with all of his ingenuity has ever been able to build a building like He built Solomon's building. Just to show that God, like He said, He made all the fishes, and by the way, I put the biggest mammal that there is in there just to show you that man didn't have to come from a fish like somebody said. I made the biggest mammal and put it in that sea also. God built a great building, brought it in, and it was put together. And then God did something else. God came down and filled that building and gave that building life in Solomon's time. So God, in like manner here, uses that as an example and shows us. He, in his way, builds the building, that he puts the life in the building. So he begins out reasoning here with us and to all of you, and as you can see here also, that these many members that are laying out there in this valley, all these bones that are out there, that God uses them later on to make a great army out of. We find out that an army is a putting together of a lot of folks to make up a unit. In like manner, you see, I have fingers and thumbs and arms and feet and legs and heart and lungs and everything in there, and it all is necessary to come together to make up one unit, one house, one body. God built that building. Still, it don't have a thing in the world in it. It has no life until God comes and fills it up with life. So you see, it looks as though here that the last thing that God did when he built the building in Solomon's time, in Adam's time, and in the time of the church, the last thing he put in them was the breath of life. So they couldn't say, look what I've built. Now that, in all of those examples there, I tried to take and show you that God is pointing out here, though the raw materials is there, no man can build a house except God build it. Not a house that has life in it. Now, what about a church? Well, a church has many members. There's many members there. But until God comes and give it life, it has no life at all. It's a dead body, separated and void of the ingredient that makes it a church, that makes it a body, and that is, God has to give it life. All right, now, so we've taken it. It makes no difference what it is. If it has to have life, then that life has to come from the giver of life. Now, that's the principle he sets forth. And he says unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Which is as much to say as, Lord, thou knowest that the only way they can live is that you'll have to give them life. Here's a great army out here. They fought the battle. Obviously, they must have lost because they died. They fought the battle of life. They did everything they can. Obviously, they lost there. They lay dead. And then the question is, can they live? Ezekiel says, Lord God, thou knowest, and I'll add to it, if they live, you'll have to give them life. You'll agree with that tonight, won't you? You know that that's the only way. Can you see that the whole principle of life, the whole principle of life itself, everything that has life, God gave it life. But did you notice that everything that has life, God builded it, made it, and then lastly gave it life? Watch what happens. Now remember, if it makes no difference, if you're talking about the church, the old church or the new church, if you're talking about your life, if you're talking about the resurrection, it makes no difference. God built the building, then he gave it life. Okay? So now, I want to go back and capitalize on that a little bit. God built the building, and he gave it life. You haven't caught up with me yet. I can tell by looking. God built the building, and then he gave it life. I'm talking about the church. I pointed out to you, he made the body, then he gave it life. He made Solomon's temple completely, and then he entered it and built it. Don't you see that in the mind of God, in his great ecclesiastical triumphant church in glory, as far as he is concerned, he built the building first and then gave it life? And that the church here in this world, that he established it first and then gave it life? And Jesus Christ established that church and gave it life? Can't you see that every act of man has been taken out of it completely? That's what he's teaching here. So help me. And we must not miss the point. Yes, it's talking about the resurrection. It's talking about the resurrection of the church. That's why we had an old church and we have a new church. That's a picture of the resurrection. God made them both. God builded them both. He builded Solomon's temple. He builded his church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, he said. Now, and as it took many lively stones, or took many stones to go into Solomon's temple, it takes lots of stones to go into the temple that God's building today. Look around you. You see that temple sitting next to you, that stone sitting next to you? It's a jewel, a precious jewel. It's a precious jewel that's been bought by God, formed by God, made by God to go into a place prepared by God. And said, someday I'm going to come and get you and put you in that place. Won't be any holes in the walls of God's building. They'll all be there. The body of the bride of Christ will be a perfect, beautiful, wonderful body. And there won't be any fingers missing. And if one child of God isn't there, then if the end of one little finger is left out, then that body is an incomplete body. And the bride of Christ will be perfect and beautiful, and you and I both know it. God built the building. He gives it life. And he said unto me, you prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Go on and prophesy to those dry bones. Now, it doesn't won't do you any good to prophesy to a dry bone. You can talk to a dry bone till you're blue in the face and do everything you want to. You can preach all day and all night, and you can just continue to do it. You can preach till you join the valley of the dry bones, and you won't cause one bone to get up. Go try it. I invite you to go do it. I won't stay up all night with you, but you go on and do it. You just go out there and talk to those dry bones. Talk to them. It won't do any good. So God reasons with you. It's just reasonable. It doesn't do any good to talk to dry. People would accuse you of being something a little touched up here if you talked to dry bones, wouldn't they? I mean, if the bones even it wasn't even dry, they'd say that, wouldn't they? Fact of the matter is, if the person didn't have life in him, they'd say, you're crazy, man, to talk to that man. Folks say that's all you got to do is just go out and tell a dead man to live and he'll live. God says you've got to give him life first. And he says, here, first of all, I'll show you how to do it. First of all, you get them ready. Get it all ready, and then I move in. You see, watch what happens. He says to them, you prophesy upon these dry bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones. Now, thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones. Now, if the Lord talks to dry bones, something will happen. You see, the Lord is the difference there. It wouldn't do any good for Ezekiel to preach to him. Ezekiel talk all day and all night. But now, if the Lord talks to him, that's different. If the Lord comes and he talks to him out there, things are going to happen, folks. And if the Lord comes, and though the individual doesn't have any life in him, that old sinner here in this world, dead, separated, having no life with whatsoever, spiritual life, until God talks to him, it won't do any good at all. Because, you see, faith comes by hearing. But until you have life, there is no hearing. There's no heart to beat with fervency of love toward God. And there's no mind to understand what you hear. It has to be that way, and God gives it, and only God can give it. Then he says to these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now there the bones lay. I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. That's the last thing he's going to do, and that's the first thing he's going to mention. So why don't the bones say, that's not necessary. I'll get up myself, and when I get ready, then you come and breathe on me. I'll tell you when I want you. There the bones are, they're laying there. Go ahead and get up, why don't you? I mean, God's preaching, telling us here things that we believe, folks. He's laying it out before you here. There it is. There's all the works. There's all the raw products. There it is, right there. There was the starting with it. But there's a lot of things hanging on those bones. Everything hangs on those bones. Everything you see in that body that you have, wonderfully and fearfully made as it is, functioning beyond the imagination of man, so great is it, such a fine precision machine that man cannot begin to comprehend and can only describe it with one of old who said, I am wonderfully and fearfully, listen to me, made. I'm made. He didn't make himself. I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. So he mentioned first breath. But the last thing he's going to do is give him breath. That's what he did with Adam, wasn't it? That's what he did with Adam, because if he hadn't have done it, as I've said before, he made everything. Then he made, lastly, he made man. And then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, because if he had not done that, what would man have done? Look what we did. So God fixed it up so it wasn't that way. You see. And then he goes ahead and says, I'll lay sinews upon you. Now that's the ligamentous things, the connective tissue. I'll lay sinew upon you. In other words, God says, we'll do it in order. God always does things in order. Did you notice that? He didn't say, come on, skin. Because we ain't ready for skin yet. We don't want skin hanging around on a skeleton, do we? We don't want skin hanging around out there and no place to put it. That's not the way to do it. He didn't bring that into being. I told the elder there a while ago, I don't have anything to preach about. My pastor told me years ago, I said, elder, I'm supposed to preach tonight, and I don't have anything to preach about. He says, you don't need it yet. And if you had it, you'd have it all wore out by the time you got to use it. The Lord does everything in order. And God is a God of order and not confusion. So whenever it's confusion, God's not the author of it. If it causes confusion, God's not the author of it. And sometimes some things that some men preach cause confusion. And my answer to that is, God didn't cause it. God's not the author of it. Because God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. And Satan don't make you do it. As I heard somebody say one time, by the way. He don't make you do it. You can't even blame that on Satan. That comes right back to you. He lays it out before you, and you reach out and grab it, is what you do. Now he says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I'll lay sinews upon you. I'll bring up flesh upon you. I'll bring up flesh upon you. Listen, what did I say? I said, it says, I will bring up flesh upon you. Up from where? Out of that ground where it went to. That's where your atoms are at. You see, all those atoms that made up that body that you have, they're right down there. They're still out there. The atoms of those bodies, folks, are still there in that ground that they went back to. The bones are too, but they can't do anything. But my, there's a power that can. What good is a spirit in glory that doesn't have his body to live in? How are we going to look like Jesus unless we have a body to live in that looks like Jesus? The first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. The second man, Adam, we talked about that this morning, remember? The second man, Adam, is the Lord from heaven. So one of the names of Jesus Christ, the Lord, is Adam. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And tell me, pray tell, how we're going to do it if we don't have a body to do it in. Yes, these Adams, the Lord has them all out there. And every Adam in this world, folks, had its place. No more. No more. Every one of them, God only made so many of them, and every one of them has his place. Remember that, because that Adam someday will take his place when God calls it and tells him to do it. Now, that's not so hard to understand, is it? That's not even too hard to believe. Won't that give reason and answer to a lot of the questions that you've wondered about? It's all right here. God made up everything he needed. He put it all together, everything we needed. All those dry bones out there, every one of them had its own place, and to his own place he went. You see? I will bring up flesh upon you. And by the way, every verse in this has I will. The Lord is found in every verse of it. And the word God's not found in the whole book of Esther, and it's just as inspired and it's just as good as this is, because the God is in every verse of it anyway. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. Notice how he did that? Every bit of it right in order. Right in order. And did you notice this? I will lay sinews upon... Who did he say? I'll lay sinews upon you. I'll bring up your flesh. I'll put skin upon you. You see, I'll bring up the flesh upon you. It's yours. How's he going to bring it up if it wasn't there? You see, you had to have some first. I thrilled to death when I begin to see some of the things in here. You know I'm not going to get through with this. We're on six verses, and this goes over 14. Time goes on. And then he says, and lastly, and put breath in you. Now we have this situation. Here the bones have been brought together, every bone to his bone. The ligamentous attachments have all been made. And that's a magnificent thing in itself. And a lot of things, he just said a lot of shortcuts. My men have written books trying to explain just the connective tissue of the body, haven't they? Books! And God just kind of slides over. Like, you know, he said, I made the sun to rule the day, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And then, oh yeah, P.S. I made the stars also. And if man had made one little star, just think what he'd have done. He'd have still been writing great volumes about it. God could have said a lot more, but just to make the story short here and to put you in your place and to show you and at the same time give you the encouragement that you need and to answer a lot of your questions, this is what he has said. I put the sinews on you. But look at the individuality, the personality that's involved here. He's talking about people. He's talking about individuals. Those bones that was there, those bones, they belong to somebody. Those bones, remember, folks, show that there was life sometime, or there could not have been a bone. Even the dead alien sinner is entitled to his bones and his flesh to suffer in hell. And shall. For they also shall be resurrected. You see. I'll lay sinews upon you. I'll bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin.